The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
We are back here, the final 2 hours of the program, and we will get back to your calls. I know it's been a while. We've had a lot of guests today, but that has also worked out to get some really interesting opinions out there. And our next guest is Tim May, 42 years covering the Buckeyes for the local newspaper. Now he's made so much money, he's out on his own just enjoying life. Tim, what are you up to? How are you?
Paul, I'm about 6'2 and a half, man. I weighed 207 this morning. I need to lose some weight, and that's what I'm up to. And I'm enjoying it, semi-retirement, doing a podcast once a week or maybe sometimes more than that for LettermanRow.com, and having a good time and playing golf as often as possible.
Yeah, I've done that podcast, and it's really a lot of fun. I know we often get diverted into the old business of ours, and we will talk about the Buckeyes in a minute. But now that you're doing things at a little bit different pace, what are your thoughts today on the way the media covers college football, and in particular the NIL issue?
Well, the way the media covers it, I mean, you know, the big swing has been newspapers, or I don't know if dying's the right word, but they're wilting. They have been wilting for a while, as you well know. And, for example, our local paper, the paper I worked for like 40-something years, they have deadlines like late in the afternoon now and stuff. And I kind of feel for those guys there, They have obviously a website, but they were kind of behind the times getting on their website and been playing catch up. But, like this, there's so many .coms now out there. It's kind of crazy. And so with the social media, Twitter, et cetera, you've got to be pretty much on your game 24/7. That's what's really changed over the last 20 years. And past that, you're still trying to find out stuff and scoop stuff. I mean, I don't just sit at home and twiddle my thumbs. I'm always trying to stay up on stuff and still have quite a few good sources, et cetera, that help me out on certain occasions, because I'll write a few stories for LettermanRow.com. But we have a pretty good staff now, and it's even going to expand even bigger here in a month or so. But I digress. The name, image, and likeness situation, I don't know where I stand on that, because, you've always been thinking these guys that play college football and college basketball, at least the ones that bring in the big money, deserve more a piece of the pie. But the interesting thing about this, it's kind of, I don't know, I think it's slipped under some people's radar, is the NCAA is now, after these states have all passed their own laws, including Ohio, the governor's executive order a couple of weeks ago, didn't want to be left behind. No school in Ohio left behind on July 1, was kind of the motto. And but the interesting thing is it's now kind of up to the student athletes to go out and get their own pay for play, if you follow my drift, instead of the schools having to step up or pony up in that regard. So that can has been kicked down the road, at least for another few years, I do believe. The idea that no matter who you play for, the amount of work you put in to play major college football especially should be rewarded with more than just your scholarship, room, board, tuition, and cost of going to school. So that's what's interesting to me. And we all know that the big-time stars on the schools are going to benefit most from this. But the flip side of that is, if you're a golf player at Alabama or Clemson or Ohio State or somewhere, you can now do your own clinic or go to take part in clinics and get paid for it and things like that. It's gonna benefit everyone who has a little bit of an ambition, I think, to sort of get their brand out there. And I don't see anything wrong with that. We all know that, the big-time schools, there are going to be some pretty nice offers to some of the major players at the places, but there are also going to be third-team left guards that are going to be left out of the mix for the most part. But heck, who knows? Maybe they want to band together and get their own little thing going, But I'm hemming and hawing here, because
Tim, Tim, I don't mean to be the old Tim May here, but what is so difficult to figure out? I mean, why are you hemming and hawing?
No, I mean, bottom line is the rich are going to get richer. You know, I had Urban Meyer on my podcast last week, and he was talking about, you know, he was talking about it's going to be different. He's not saying that's going to necessarily be a bad thing, but it's definitely going to be for the next several couple of years. It's going to be a little bit of a chaotic situation. I mean, there, you know, the here's what the problem with the schools is: if a kid comes to you and he says, if a young man comes to you and says, hey, I've got a deal to do this. You know, as long as it's not tobacco, I guess firearms probably is in there, but tobacco and alcohol and gambling, you know, how are you going to necessarily say no to it? You know, because there could be some legal, could be some establishing some legal precedence if you say, no, that doesn't represent our brand. Well, the problem is the school brand doesn't matter now in that regard. It's the kid's brand that matters. And so that's what's going to be the next shoe that drops, is someone being told no when, in fact, the school probably should have kept its mouth shut.
Talking to Tim May. Tim, I want to talk about the recruiting going on right now at Ohio State. We had a Buckeye fan calling in and pretty much declaring Ohio State the new king of college football. Well, we'll let them maybe win a championship again before we do that. But what is happening up there? I mean, and why are they recruiting so well?
Same reason Alabama is, man. Same reason Clemson, you know, winning. And winning, number one, attracts people. Number two, it is such a national scope program. It's more national now than it's ever been. It always had a little bit of a national feel to it. But Ryan Day, you know, Urban Meyer and then Ryan Day have really taken it to another level, Ryan Day especially. You know, I had the high school coach for JT Tuimoloau, the kid, the last big-time prospect in the 2021 class who just committed to Ohio State on July the 4th. I had his coach on, his high school coach, Dominic Basti from Eastside Catholic High School outside Seattle. And, you know, he was talking about that very thing, that, you know, the reach of every school. I mean, Washington looking east and, you know, schools out in the east looking west and stuff. It's so ridiculous now from the standpoint of social media and everything else. You know, you can watch every Ohio State game on television somewhere if you're ambitious enough. And it didn't used to be that way, but then on top of that, the brand of football Ohio State is playing now, and Alabama, I mean, offensively, you know, even Alabama's been pushed into the modern age offensively now, but just the brand of football they play. And then when you see the schools that are getting players to the next level, meaning the NFL, at least getting them into a chance to have a shot at the NFL, you know, there's no denying the big names now are really on top of that also. I think it's a complex, deep situation has been building for years.
Tim May with us. Tim, you mentioned the rich get richer, and I agree with you, but that wasn't exactly the intent of this. But after the elite, what's going to happen to everyone else?
Well, that's a good question. I think that's what we're all waiting to see because, you know, I mean, there's a huge difference, and you know this, Paul, there's a huge difference between Ohio State and Ohio University, you know. But in the eyes of the NCAA, they're both FBS schools. You know, the broad reach of the Alumni Association with Ohio State and the Buckeye Nation, as they call it, you know. You've always had the haves and the have-nots, but I think the haves are going to have even more, if that's the right way of putting that. And, you know, and then you add on top of that, you know, where the have-nots may benefit more in what has come about in college football over the last 12 months, the transfer portal, where guys, you've seen them leave Alabama, you've seen a few guys leave Ohio State, but you've seen a lot of guys leave Michigan. Maybe that's going to be your next question. But bottom line is, you know, guys come in and sit around for 1 or 2 years, and if they don't figure they're in the plans like they thought they should be, now they can leave and transfer somewhere else and not have to sit out of season, not have to go before an arbitrary board to figure out whether they should be eligible or not, you know, which was really crazy to me, the way they figured those things out. But now, I mean, it's going to be an interesting time because there's a good chance that some of the have-nots, you know, from the name, image, and likeness situation, you know, they may fall behind. But from the actually getting quality players to transfer to their school after a couple of 3 years at the big time places, I mean, I think they're going to be, you know, better for that. You know, I don't know if you agree or not, but there are a lot of guys leaving, like, you know, University of Cincinnati and transferring to Ohio State, you know, but the end of the reverse situation is true. I mean, you had a guy leave Ohio State and go to Alabama. That's very rare. Jameson Williams. We'll see how that works out for him. Hopefully pretty good for him. He's a pretty good kid. But that's what I think is going to be, for want of another term, sort of a trickle-down theory in that regard, which has really little to do with name, image, and likeness. But you're going to see schools aren't allowed to, like, go out and develop packages for players. You know, if you come here, you're going to get X, Y, Z. But it's going to be pretty damn obvious by Google and other means what's available to kids at Alabama, Ohio State, USC, Texas A&M, whatever, when it comes to the name, image, and likeness situation. That's what I was talking about the rich getting richer. There's no denying there's an elite.
Tim May with us. We're going to take a break. A lot more to deal with Tim. And don't go anywhere. Your phone calls eventually at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We're back. Tim May with us from the Letterman. Tim, let me. You mentioned Urban Meyer a minute ago. Tell us more about that conversation.
I just thought that I hadn't had him on my podcast since he, as I said, I heard he'd gotten a new gig since I'd had him on last. And we talked about a bunch of things. Interestingly, we recorded it on an early Sunday morning before the start of the week. What was that, a week and a half ago? And I was talking to him, among other things. I said, you know, there are a lot of things in the NFL that you know, you're not used to in college football. Like, and, you know, what I was alluding to was the NFLPA and, you know, rules for OTAs and practices like that, and he talked about how what great OTAs they had, and he'd even given the guys, I think, one of their days off because he had just enjoyed the effort and stuff. And then, of course, by the end of the week, you find out they got penalized. You know, he got penalized personally, $100,000, but for maybe a little, maybe too aggressive practices, whatever that's called. But I think it's definitely a learning. He's in a learning curve right now. But I saw where you talked about him. Where'd you talk about him on the some ESPN outlet?
It was on Get Up last week. Yeah, it was just at the end of the penalty deal. Somebody, Greenberg or somebody, asked me, and yeah, listen, you give a comment, and the next thing you know, Tim, I'm not walking away from it, but it gets blown up pretty good.
Sure. Well, yeah, but I mean, here's the thing. I mean, he is definitely in a learning curve, Paul. That's where I agree with you. You know, this guy. No matter whether – I'm not talking about – when I say you, I'm not saying you necessarily, but whether people liked his methods or not, or the way he went around about his business, he has figured out a way to win everywhere he's been, you know. And he is a football coach you know, right in the literal sense of it. And I think he has a pretty good shot of succeeding. Now, define succeed, you know, that's, you know, obviously in the NFL, let's get to the Super Bowl and win it, you know, anything short of that. But, you know, he's also smart enough to understand that in college football, you lose a game, unless you're Alabama, you lose a game, you're pretty much out of the running, you know, for having a shot, or at least you did before we went to the, before we're going to the 12 game thing, or 12 team here. Maybe we'll talk about that in a minute. But in the NFL, you can go 9-7 and make the playoffs and win the Super Bowl. So, you know, he understands all of that. He also understands he's got a rebuilding situation like never before, and, you know, during his career as a head coach. And it always helps, you know, when you can go in and take what, you know, people are calling a generational quarterback, even called him that, in Trevor Lawrence, and build from there with all those extra draft picks they got, et cetera. And so we'll see where it goes. I know he's very dedicated to this, but, you know, the NFL is a different animal. Just ask Nick Saban.
Yes, it is. So let me get to the 12-team playoff. You've heard it all, and, you know, everybody was excited, and then they started tempering those expectations by saying it may not happen. So yeah. What do you think is going to happen here? I mean, are we going to see this in 2 years, or are they going to drag this out forever?
Here's the thing. If you said the top six conference champions make the playoff, and then you have two wild cards, you know, eight teams instead of 12, what's the difference in what they've just come up with, except that they've added an extra game for someone who desires to be the national champion? And is it fair for, you know, team bogus BB to have to play four games to win the title when Alabama only has to play three? You know, I mean, I think things have to be fair from a grind situation as much as anything else. And I didn't get the 12, either 8 or 16 makes sense. 12 is like, are you kidding me? You're going to give people buys. I mean, let's face it. I'd rather see a playoff game in Ohio Stadium or Bryant Denny Stadium or one of these other, you know, one of these other great palaces of college football than these other, you know, what is it, 5 through 12. So that's one thing I had a problem with. Just go to 8 and you figured it out. And I've always said this, I've even said this on your show before, if I remember correctly. You know, when you have four teams that are involved, you can make an argument for like two or three others to be that fourth team. But when you have 8, you can make an argument for like maybe 6 or 8 more teams to be that eighth team. But when you go to 12, you can take the top 30, they can all make an argument for being in there, but hook or crook. And I just think it, you know, this idea that it keeps things alive late in the season, yeah, you know, you and I talked about that, I think, on my podcast. When you have the national championship game pitting Ohio State and Alabama drop by 27% in the ratings from the year before, I'm not sure if that's the exact number. Yeah, there's a problem there somewhere. It's the same-o, you know, as some people would call it, maybe. But how do you deny Alabama and Ohio State and Clemson, Oklahoma, when they've really got it going on? I mean, like no one maybe before in college football from a consistent perennial basis. You know, I don't think you're going to please everybody, but I think 8 would have been the right number.
Yeah, well, obviously they're not going to do that. Again, just when you think you want to trust these guys again, they go in a different direction. Let me close on Ryan Day. I know we talked about it earlier about his recruiting, but so many people are trying to differentiate Urban and Ryan Day. And I know Ryan Day has not won the title, but his resume is just unbelievable. How would you differentiate these two? And why are you optimistic that Ryan Day is going to continue this on, other than the brand is Ohio State?
Number one, both those guys are extremely intelligent. Ryan Day is very intelligent. I mean, I think that has a lot to do with success. He knows what he knows, and he knows what he doesn't know and wants to find out. You know, that's one way. The curiosity factor there takes you a long way when you're the leader of a program or a corporation or whatever, you know. So, number one, that's what both of those guys have going for them. You know, Urban Meyer walked into Ohio State, and it was almost like a rock star, a front man, you know, taking the stage. Ryan Day was the guy playing, you know, maybe rhythm guitar back there in the back, you know, the last couple of years when he got hired as the quarterback's coach and then elevated pretty much to the offensive coordinator, or at least had, you know, those kind of duties. When he had that three-game sabbatical, when Urban had that three-game suspension and Ryan had that three-game internship, I guess is what I should say, as the head football coach, once again, he leaned on guys to help him get through it, but he also showed leadership that just struck Gene Smith big time. And the thing about Ryan, he's a, you know, he just strikes you as this real guy. You know what I mean? Urban, you know, for Urban just strikes a lot of people, I think, is almost, you know, unless you know him, he's almost unapproachable or something. Like sort of a, you know, like a lot of people are afraid to like even go up and say hi, you know, and, but I've always found Urban engaging when I can, when I get to talk to him. So, you know, it's what you know and what you don't know in that regard. But Ryan is very personable. You know, these recruits, he's taken a lot of what Urban left behind, like the Real Life Wednesday program and stuff. And people can laugh at things like that all the time. But, you know, those things, that's really coming to bear big time now with the name, image, and likeness. I mean, Ohio State has been working really hard to prepare, you know, the players for life after football or life post Ohio State. And, yeah, that's a great recruiting tool, too. There's no doubt about it, because a lot of the players coming in talk about that. But Ryan is taking it to another level now. You know, he embraced all the challenges of the COVID situation, just like Nick Saban did, just like Dabo did. That's why they were back in the playoff last year when a lot of other programs maybe struggled. And but that's what I like about him. He's always looking for a new way to do things. And he's very engaging. You know, I was at a football clinic where he was giving a lecture one time, and the crowd dwindled down to pretty much just about five or six of us sports writers and a couple other coaches who weren't asking any questions. And I just started asking him questions about different things of their offense, and he was answering them. I mean, that was pretty cool, you know. And but it just gives you a good feeling about the guy, because all the recruits and everybody talk about the family atmosphere at Ohio State when they show up, and I don't think they're BSing. I mean, Tui Moloau, the kid that they just signed, the five-star, you know, he's big. He's Polynesian background, and they're big on family and stuff. And he just loved Ohio State, loved dealing with the coaches, but especially the players. So when you foster that in your program, it takes you places.
Before you go, what's the Big Ten look like? And please include a conversation about Jim Harbaugh in that answer.
Dude, I'm as perplexed as you are about what's going on at Michigan, what their aim is, giving him the contract that they gave him. You know, it's almost kind of like giving a guy a rope, you know. yeah, I mean, I'm perplexed because they might be better at quarterback, but people have been saying that for a while now. You got to kind of wait and see what happens there. But the amount of players they've had to leave in the transfer portal situation is stunning, in my opinion, over the last several months. And I think it's in the high teens now. And so what's going on is, like, you know, I think even people that are covering the Michigan program are kind of scratching their heads about what's going on there, because it's perplexing. Meanwhile, what's going on in Indiana is equally perplexing in the opposite direction, because – you know, they've gotten quite a few commitments now from pretty good football players. You know, I'm not going to say stole a kind of guy from Ohio State, but when his dad got named an assistant coach there by Tom Allen, and he reneged on his Ohio State commitment and is going now to Indiana, big-time linebacker player. I mean, defensive player. I mean, those are the kind of things that are going on in this league right now. You're scratching your head. It's kind of hard to figure out where James Franklin and Penn State are right now. They had a decent recruiting year, but not a great year. And, you know, like we talked about, Paul, on my podcast, you know, the Big Ten East was upside down except for the team at the very top last year. I mean, it was crazy. Rutgers, Greg Schiano has made that a destination, a welcome destination for many of the transfer portal kids, like I was talking about a while ago, that maybe want a chance at being number one instead of number two. That's really changing the face of that program over the last 2 years. And Greg Schiano, no matter what your opinions were of him, I'm talking about you, I'm talking about, you know, general you. We all know what happened at for the Tennessee job. You notice what's going on in Tennessee now. Maybe they'll get their act together. Who knows? But the bottom line is, Greg Schiano was a great fit at Rutgers, and he's showing he's a great fit there. So just the Big Ten East, to me, is very interesting going into this year. If Michael Penix Jr. plays like he did last year, you know, in Indiana, and, you know, but who's going to be the Ohio State quarterback? Everybody believes that if C.J. Stroud's named the starter, he's going to be on that Heisman watch list by the second or third week, you know, especially after the Oregon game. That'll be the telltale thing. But yeah, and then in the West, I think the West is a wide-open shootout. And, you know, you can't not pick Wisconsin based on their background and what they've done lately. But Northwestern, you know, was there a year ago, and you got Minnesota definitely making waves. And, you know, finally, Iowa may have two or three years really good back-to-back-to-back. You know, that's been the big let's call it the sine or cosine, you know, version of Kirk Ferentz. When he's been there, he's had good years and it dropped way off, and had good years again, dropped way off. You know, it's really going to be interesting. And Mel Tucker, I think, is recruiting very well at Michigan State, for example. And then what's Brett Bielema going to do when he's back where probably he belongs, back in the Big Ten? Because he really was a fish out of water at Arkansas, agreed?
Oh, no doubt. And the entire state of Arkansas is nodding their head right now.
I know, I can hear them sue pig. But in Illinois, you know, I thought Lovie Smith was actually kind of turning the corner there. But, you know, you finally, people run out of patience. Lovie Smith's one of the great people I've ever run into in this business, man. I told you I used to watch video with him when he was at Ohio State, a defensive backs coach, and, you know, coach to the Super Bowl, the Bears. But couldn't quite get it done to the satisfaction of the Illinois faithful, the few that there are, it looks like.
What a fantastic conversation with Tim A. Tim, be well. We'll talk to you very, very soon. Can't wait to see you.
You got it. Always a pleasure, Paul. You know that, man.
Always great to have Tim May on from Letterman. We'll take a break. We've had an extended guest list today. I don't think we've had a call in a while because we've been so loaded. But we will change that right now. And if you want to call us, I strongly recommend this is your moment. 855-242-7285. Your calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Okay, we're back. And I mentioned we're going to calls, and we are. And I don't know, it's been a very long time since we've grabbed a call. And you can get in now at 855-242-7285. Pretty much, we have one more guest, but mostly calls the rest of the way. Rarely are we slammed with callers. How about Ronnie up next? Hey, Ronnie, go right ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, Ronnie, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call. Hey, man, I was just heard today that there's a high school guy fishing to start college. They offer him like $10 million for the first year. Quarterback that's, you know, highly rated. And I'm just wondering if they're going to pay all this money to these college players, are the pros going to have to go up on their prices? Because, I mean, Matt Jones, they're talking $15 million in 4 years, and this high school dude going to make $10 million in his first year.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that 15 over 4 looks pretty paltry, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Compared
how do you to get, how can you get by on that?
I don't know. They need to go.
Well, I mean, here's where the mistake was made, where, you know, the NCAA, had they done this years ago, they could have put some caps on it, but they didn't. And now it's a free market system. And I don't know, you know, how that it's, I think you're not going to see many cases like that, but yeah, I mean, it's out there.
And do you think the NFL is going to have to go up on their prices?
No, I mean, the NFL is just simply, They have a very structured system, and they have caps, and there's not much that can be done about it. The NFL doesn't really care what college is doing.
Yes, sir. I just want to say roll tide, then. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you. Appreciate that. How do people feel about that? I'm all for everyone. I thought it was great. $200, something that players were normally not getting, but we've gone some 0 to 80 in about a week. Let's get back to the calls. And Wayne is calling next. Wayne, thank you. Good afternoon.
Hi, Paul.
How are you? What's happening?
That you had on. Doing great. Appreciate you taking my call. What do you think it will take to get traction to get some of these games to college stadiums instead of these, destination stadiums that everybody, thinks that they're the better stadium?
Yeah, well, here's the problem right now, and I think it depends. If they get out of this contract and start in 2 years, they won't do that because they have to pay off the bowl sites, which already have deals in place. Now, if they end up waiting till the end of the contract, then they could legitimately do that. So it's a catch-22, but I think most people want to see more games on campuses.
Absolutely.
I've said this for years, and every time I'm around one of these, the guy that runs the Atlanta game or some other game, they cringe when I say it, but I've been to all those games. And I'm tired of them. The Alabama-Miami game, how cool would that be? One game in Miami, one game in Tuscaloosa. The Clemson-Georgia game, we've seen that on campus. But, Dallas, Charlotte, Miami, Atlanta. We've been there, done that.
I know a lot of people in Alabama will not like what I'm getting ready to say, but a great venue for college football is the University of Tennessee, Neyland Stadium. That's gorgeous. It's a beautiful stadium.
You're right. We still have all the regular games, but I just don't like these these early season games. And now we're going to add another 2 or 3 weeks of them in the postseason. Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out how people are going to be able to pay for this new playoff, because let's say you're an Alabama fan, you're going to the SEC game, which is expensive. I know it's a drive, it's not a long drive, but it's still expensive. And then you may miss the next weekend, and then you're at a neutral site game. Maybe it's Dallas, maybe it's Indianapolis, it's wherever it is. You've got 3 weeks of traveling, and traveling is not cheap.
No, they've made it a rich person's game.
I agree, and that's really too bad. It's I can't remember which game I was at a couple of years ago. It was semifinals, finals. I don't know. I asked somebody, a friend of mine asked, "Do you have any tickets?" So I asked somebody. I said, "Are there any tickets available?" He said, "Yeah, I got a couple of them." I said, "What are they face value?" He said, $450. I'm like going, oh my goodness. I was living in a different world, obviously.
Well, I guess it's just the way that we've let this game get out of hand. I'm talking about the overall college football game. And, when Alabama played Notre Dame in Miami a couple of years ago, we almost had to take the second mortgage out to go down there.
And that's too bad because, the great part about college football is experiencing it with your family. And I'm not talking about Alabama, because Alabama is an outlier, because it's so good that there just aren't any tickets available. But I remember that game. A couple of the games I've covered Alabama out on the West Coast, and you're talking about. I had to make my reservation late, and I could not. The price of the ticket was just outrageous. But again, I'm not paying for it, though. I want to be clear, but it was still unbelievable in terms of what I had to pay for it late, And most people, you can't book those flights too far out because you don't know if you're going. You think you're going, but you don't know.
Yes, sir. Well, Paul, I know you probably got other people. I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me.
Wayne, it was my pleasure. You take care of yourself, and thank you. And that's really a topic maybe we ought to have one day is as much as we all love college football, have they outpriced it for the average fan? And I mean, it shouldn't be that expensive, but it is. And I know you can say, well, I'd rather watch it on TV, but there is something about being at the game. There is something about tailgating. There is something about the experience. And we're getting pretty close to a point where it may no longer be available unless, like the guy said, you take a second mortgage. We'll take a break. More to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We welcome you back. Brent is up next. Hey, Brent. Thanks. Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. Appreciate you letting me get in. It's refreshing to hear you down here in Central Arkansas. We don't ever get this opportunity very much.
Well, I'm glad to hear from you.
But no, the last guest you had on was talking, I mean, really everybody's talking about the, it seems, imminent expansion of the college football playoff. And like I told your screener there, I'm really an Oregon Ducks fan. I'm a transplant from the West Coast, and you know, when Willie Taggart was there, it started okay, and then Cristobal got the job, and I was like, he's an excellent recruiter and highly respected by his peers, but I just don't know if he can get the job done. So it seems like we can play with the big boys, and then we go out and lay the proverbial egg against somebody like Arizona or Arizona State on a otherwise meaningless game. So I'm just kind of want to get your opinion on, do you think the Ducks are going to break through anytime soon? And I appreciate you taking my call, Paul.
Yeah, thank you. I think they have a good chance. I'm a huge fan of the coach, and you know, we had Mario Cristobal on the other day, and I think they have a shot this year. They were so close a couple of years ago, and they would have made the playoffs had they not blown that game against Auburn, you know, which they flat out should have won. And
right,
I think they're good enough. They don't have a lot of room for error. Here's their opportunity, and I don't think it's do or die. They play Ohio State the second week of the season. I don't think they have to win the game, but if they're competitive, I think it really helps them, assuming they run the table after that.
Sure. Well, once again, I appreciate your opinion, Paul, and I enjoy listening, and I'll keep on listening. You have a great day.
Thank you very much. Glad to hear from you. Art is up next. So what do you got, Art?
Hey, Paul, thanks a whole lot, buddy.
Thank you.
This is where I really want you to tell me what you think.
I'm sorry, Art. What I think?
Paul?
Yeah, I'm here. I think I missed part of what you said.
Okay. Is it blue? Is it green? Is it Power? Is it Franklin? Is it Star? Is it Greek? Is it Holmes? Is it Manning? Is it Rats? I mean, it's just, I really don't believe that. I mean, it's between me and you, and that's all I'm getting. I don't believe you. I think this whole thing is just made up.
I mean, really?
You know? Yeah, I mean, I about decided that. I mean, after all these conversations you've been having lately, nuts old, really. And you know, I used to make a joke, and I didn't get cut off for it all the time. Glanville making a list about, you know, he'd pay a player to, if he made a tackle against that guy, and, you know, he got caught for it. And, you know, I think that's just a great idea. I really do.
Well, that is an interesting perspective there, Art.
I mean, realistically, I mean, what kind of – do they have a color scheme for the players that might wear a wristband if they're getting paid?
I mean – well, they're all going to get something. You know, exactly what, I'm not sure.
anybody that gets paid obviously gets paid. But, I mean, do you remember those agents back then? Could listen to the Paul Feinbaum show in the background. Not anymore. Now, if you're going to follow the show, you have to listen to it, basically. But there used to be a big hubbub about agents. Oh, yeah. And I remember you saying that very thing. This gone out of control.
No, I did. We are heading to the top of the hour. 1 hour to go. A couple more guests and more of your phone calls. You want to get in now? And we will get to you not too long down the road. 855-242-7285.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.